ready to wake up, you're going to wake up. And if you're not ready, you're going to stay pretending that you're just a little, poor little me.
Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are.
Everybody is I. You all know you are you. And wheresoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being.
Yo, 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 beautiful people. How's it going? So anyway, this week on the Send podcast, this is a conversation that I did about 3 weeks ago when I headed down to North Wales to the eco village in Wales called Lammas. This is with a lady called Hoppy Wimbush, who is one of the founders of the eco village with her husband Tao. I actually have a conversation, a podcast that I did with her husband called Tao as well in the future, where we talked more about off-grid living. How do we do it? How did he do it? In the whole situation with self-sustainable living on the planet and in the world. But this conversation with Tao's wife, who is called Hoppy Wimbush, this conversation today is such a beautiful conversation. We talked about the higher self, we talked about consciousness, the intelligence that permeates through the whole universe, we talked about synchronicities, we talked about ego deaths, we talked about so much fascinating stuff. And central to Hoppy's work are three key elements that she talks about. She talks about emotional intelligence, creativity, and nature and connection. So I know you're going to love this conversation. It really is a cool conversation. And me and Hoppy really had such a great time chatting. And it was really cool meeting up and heading down to the Eco Village as well. Because as soon as I arrived at this place, Tao and Hoppy, as I mentioned, these two people are the founders of the Eco Village. They really did make me feel at home. They cooked us a meal. They welcomed us in, welcomed us to the Eco Village like this place was my own home. And it really was such a beautiful environment. And I remember when I arrived, when I drove up to the place in my van, I remember looking around at the Eco Village and just saying, wow, this place is like Avatar. And it really was. So anyway, this is one of the conversations that I did from my time there. It really is a beautiful conversation. And like I said, we talked about more about spirituality than the Eco Village itself. So this is a cool conversation with Hoppy anyway. And just before we dive in with this one, I just wanted to mention that next weekend, coming from the 16th to the 18th of August, which is a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, is the Breakin' Convention, which is one of the biggest psychedelic conventions in the world. Really is cool. I cannot wait to go there. I'm really looking forward to going and connecting with some of you who I know who have already reached out and said you're going to be going to this thing. So it's going to be cool to hang out as much as I can with a few of the listeners who listen to the podcast. I'm looking forward to meeting all the interesting guests I'm going to be doing podcasts with. It really is going to be a fun time. There's lots of crazy and wild events going on, as you can imagine, at a psychedelic convention. So I would recommend checking that out. The tickets are going very fast. It really is a cool convention. So if all you need to do is just type in Breakin' Convention anywhere and you will find it if you type that in on Google. And like I mentioned, I don't know how many tickets are left. I'm sure this thing is selling out very fast with it being a week from now. So I'm really looking forward to doing that anyway, and I hope to see some of you there. I just wanted to mention as well something that was really wild and really funny. So as you know, this podcast and the theme of this podcast is very much about sort of consciousness, spirituality, sort of taking a step away from the normality of society, if you want to say that. But in life, as you know, many weird things pop up in your life, and the universe puts many different interesting things in your path and sees how you react to them to maybe change your direction or just sort of knock you off your path or just challenge you, as you know. But the other day was really funny, as I had an email from a UK-based reality TV show. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to mention the name, but it's quite a big TV reality show in the UK. And I'm not even sure why these guys reached out to me. But for some reason, they reached out to me to be on this TV show, and I thought it was really funny. Obviously, it's not something that I'm going to do. And initially, I did actually think, can I go on this show? There was a part of us where I thought, if the universe is putting this in my path, is it putting it in my path for a reason? I thought in my head, should I go on this show? Will I be able to actually spread a bit knowledge? Would I be able to sort of, not saying that I'm sort of some high messiah or anything, but just will I be able to sort of change the normality of what's talked about in these shows? But at the same time, as you know, these big TV reality shows all around the world, they all sort of just do bite-sized bits of information. And I don't want to, and I know how this is sort of perceived on TV, and I know how they sort of change things to suit the audience that they're going for. And I thought about it for a while, and I thought, this is not really something that I want to do. And I thought really the best way to actually sort of avoid this, and the best way to get as far as I can away from these things, is to just not pay them things any attention. And certainly a reality TV show for me is something that is not aligned with my path. It's something I definitely turned down. But it's really funny anyway how that occurrence by the universe actually happened. So I just thought I'd want to share that with you. I'm sure you'd find that very funny, as the podcast is the complete opposite to TV reality shows, which is really funny. I just wanted to mention as well, at the weekend, I went to the Lake District with Chris, who used to do the podcast with. It was really cool hanging out with Chris. I hadn't seen him for a while, probably maybe 2 or 3 months. As you know, obviously, Chris took a different trajectory in his life, and he's obviously started a new sort of adventure in his life. He started a new job. So I really didn't have an opportunity to catch up with him much. So at the weekend, me and Chris went to the Lake District. We went out on the kayaks. We had a campfire. We really had a cool weekend, listening to music and just hanging out and catching up. So that was really cool. So just wanted to let you know that Chris is doing well, and we had such a fun time at the Lake District. And I also just wanted to mention as well, I've had lots of emails and lots of responses about people saying, when is the Ascend podcast retreat coming? And now I can say that it is going to be coming very soon. After this weekend, when I've been to this break and convention, the psychedelic conference that I'm attending, after that weekend, after I get that weekend out the way and I do all the podcasts, in the few weeks after that, I'm going to really knuckle down and I'm going to start really planning out a retreat for you guys. I know you everyone have been reaching out and saying, when is it going to come? So I promise you, in the next couple of weeks, I will give you more information about when this thing is going to be. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that. So keep an eye out for that. That should be in about 3 or 4 weeks. I'll be able to sort of speak about something more solid and get some dates put forward, so you can all sort of get prepared for it and get ready for it. So anyway, that's enough said. And I know for a fact you're going to love this conversation with Hoppy. It really is a cool conversation. So anyway, enjoy this podcast with Hoppy. Peace out. Do this. So I thought maybe a good place to start this would be to dive into the journey that you had where you went to India, because I know when I was reading about obviously some of the stuff about you, you was talking about how you went to do some deep soul searching, I think that's what you called it.
Yeah.
But what was the sort of the call in there?
Yeah, well, so before Lammas happened, I was working all over the UK. I was working in emotional intelligence, and I was working largely with, like, you know, youth workers, local education authorities, social services. I was really flying in my field and helping adults learn how to work with creative emotional intelligence. And I had a thriving healing practice. And then, you know, it's how I got drawn into creating the Lammas Eco Village. And I wasn't really sure whether it was my calling. And it was really, oh God, it was a real struggle, because I could sense and I could feel it was a really important thing. But it didn't, you know, I grow people. I don't grow plants,
yeah.
You know? And so it was a real kind of push-pull. And then one day out of the blue, I just found this bell going off inside that it was time to move, you know, and we were both quite shocked about that because I'd been quite adamant that I didn't know I was going to live here. Yeah. And he was, you know, he'd never, ever put me under pressure. But anyway, we moved out here and then we went into this deep dive of building, you know, and transforming a bare field essentially into a place to live. And I paused all my work. And then I got caught up into meeting planning and the planning requirements of our eco-villages that we have land-based businesses. And so for years I was really, really searching because if I couldn't find something, you know, what did that mean for my family? What did that mean for my marriage, my total love in Tao? You know, it was just, it had quite a lot of connotations for me. And so I was really, really trying to find something. And I eventually settled on, at the time we had a micro dairy and I had two Alaskan Malamutes and I used to deliver milk to my neighbours, you know, which was really good fun. And I also started my artisan skincare business. So I was growing herbs and flowers, which I adore. But it didn't meet me at a really deep soul level. I felt, you know, it was good. You know, it was lovely. But it wasn't authentic. I wasn't feeling like I was living in my soul. And it got to a kind of fever pitch, really, for me, where I just had to bow out and search and go deep inside because I just recognized that I wasn't living my truth. I really wasn't living aligned with my soul. And that got to a place where I couldn't do it anymore. And so I felt this huge calling. I started to reconnect with my healing work and I went on various retreats to go into a deep dive and I really started to question everything. And I went through this process, really intense process, of just letting go of everything, letting go of my house, letting go of my marriage, letting go of my children, letting go of my business, letting go of every single thing, which was really full on. I don't think I've ever I describe what happened to me in India as an ego death, but it was, I mean, I've had ego deaths before and they've usually, even though it's terrifying to go into it, usually it's a really blissful experience, but this wasn't blissful. It was annihilation. It was utter annihilation. And when that was the driver. That was the driver.
Yeah. Were you going to say something else there or not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to say, you know, when I got to India, I just asked, you know, I'd just been stripping everything bare for about 4 months, 4 or 5 months was the process that I went through. And I was just kind of on this fever pitch of deep, 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 deep exploration. Well, it wasn't even exploration. It's just clearing all the dross that had collected within me, you know, and just getting back to truth. But that process was it was so painful because it really meant that everything that I'd poured my life's, you know, energy, life force into for the last 10 years was on the breadline. It was like on the line, you know, literally on the line. And I was so fiercely committed to coming back into an alignment with service that I was just willing for everything to be shredded, and it did get shredded.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
So much there, by the way. I'm trying to think what direction to go because you've said so many powerful stuff.
Yeah.
But I wanted to touch on the ego death side of things because, like I was explaining to you off the podcast before about the psychedelic experience where I had, I didn't go into detail, but for me, that gave me an sort of an ego death.
Yeah.
Do you feel that what I've tuned into now is that I feel like the universe or life itself, whatever term you want to put on it, does these things where it gives you this sort of this sense of where it pulls your ego back a little bit and tries to steer you onto a different course. Because I think there is some form of natural intelligence that's circumnavigating our whole systems and life in general. But I think we have to tune into it. But do you feel that there is some sort of innate intelligence that maybe is guiding us in the right direction, and that's why it puts these challenges or gives you an ego death to change your life?
Yeah, For me, there is absolutely a profound intelligence that orchestrates all of life. You know, I am that. I'm also a little me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little hoppy with an identity, you know, that believes the story of me. And the big I am presence, the big awareness, Brahman, you know, the Lord, whatever you want to call this creative, incredibly powerful web that is life, absolutely has an intelligence to it, in my experience. And, you know, it starts with a feeling. It's always, always a feeling. And I just felt so off-pieced with my truth. And that was the driver. It got so powerfully loud within me that I couldn't live a lie anymore. I could not live a lie anymore. Mm. You know, and it meant that I had to face the possibility of, you know, my marriage dissolving, my family dissolving, everything. And I was willing to do that because I just wanted to live aligned with truth. And this intelligence, you know, it's the intelligence that creates an apple from a tiny seed, you know, creates a beautiful bloom that feeds the pollinators, that is the basis of all of life. It's a profound intelligence. And when you look at the whole animal kingdom, like the whole of life, this intelligence is paramount. But we have a thinking mind, right? As a human being, we have this little thinking mind that believes all these thoughts about, you know, who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing and all these beliefs that we take up residence in.
Monkey mind, I like to call it, the monkey mind.
The monkey mind, exactly. Yeah. So the monkey mind gets a grip. And it can, you know, we can buy into that story that isn't necessarily aligned with heart, with truth. Yeah. And heart space is the only place to live from if you want a happy life, a genuinely, deeply content life. And that was what wasn't aligned for me. You know, I was kind of living and I knew this. This was the annoying thing. It's like I knew.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole India trip for me was just facing that down and giving my life back to the universe, giving my life back to the truth, to the source, to God, to be of service. And I had no clue, absolutely no clue. I remember after I got to India and I was just like, okay, if there is anything left that I need to let go of, just show me what it is because I've given everything. And do you know what the answer was that came up inside me? Oh, because the answers come up inside, right?
Yeah, they're not. They don't make sense.
Sometimes they can come from outside as well. But the answer came up, give up your attachment to life. And I remember going cold because it was like, oh my God, you know, if I let go of life, I love life. I love life. But I chose, in that moment, I had, you know, we all have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to give up my attachment to life. And when I let go, it was just something shifted inside. I can't even describe what happened. And I remember this terror, like blind terror coming up. And then this death, unlike anything I've experienced before. And so it was like, there was literally no one home. That was the experience that I had, but speaking still came out, food still went in, you know, action still happened with this body, but there was just no thinking and there was no identity, there was no me here. And it was quite sort of confusing. Mm. I felt I was in a state of confusion for quite a while, and I was just kind of like, I don't know, just nothing. It was just nothing. And then I went up this very, very holy mountain. It's this incredible, incredible place of grace on this earth. In my heart, you know, I can feel this mountain inside me. It's a place called Arunachala. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And it's a place where many Indian saints have lived, you know, in various caves and stuff. In particular, Ramana Maharishi has this massive Shiva temple, huge ancient temple at the bottom of the mountain. And every full moon, millions, literally, of Indians circumambulate the base of the mountain on the full moon. Oh, it's incredible. And they have a beacon fire on the top of this mountain on the 11th day of the 11th month, and it's lit for 11 nights and 11 days. by Prabhu, who's the current Fire King, who I hung out with for a little while while I was there. In fact, he rang me pretty much every week for the year that I came back. And he'd just phone me and go, hoppy, 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 hoppy. Namaste, namaste. There is only God, only God. You happy? You happy? You happy? Only God, only God. Namaste, namaste. Om namah shivaya, om namah shivaya. Boom. And then the flame would go down. And he kind of held me. I don't know whether he knew. I mean, they're so intuitive, the Indians, you know. They're just so, so in tune. And he just kind of held me through that. I mean, it was like my life just got shredded. Tao and I went through a massive, massive, massive shift, massive shake-up. And it was like a rebalancing of power, really, because I'd come out here with his vision and I'd kind of superseded my own calling to meet with planning and to meet the expectation of what was expected from me in order to meet the planning for this project. Yeah, it was just a really, really powerful experience, and it's one that's never left me. The feeling of stillness has never left me. It's kind of like there's like a hole inside me, but it's a very sacred hole.
Yeah, when you were saying that before as well, it seems like a sense of surrender, because you know, you were saying where you sort of, to me, it seems like you were not I know that there's many different words you can put on it. You use begging, you can use sort of just asking, talking to the universe, communication with the universe. But I think you have to, because what I've noticed in my life is that you need to get out the sort of the monkey mind, the headspace sort of thing, and allow yourself to be open to that. Because I think sometimes we think, and in my daily life, I used to think that, oh, I can sort this out myself just through the monkey mind. But you have to be able to allow yourself and open yourself up to them spaces where you can surrender in a way, because I think we just all think that we can figure everything out. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
But when you surrender, that's when I think you can find that inner peace. And from there, that's when the questions arise and come up in your mind and stuff.
Yeah.
But a question I want to ask you is, how did you get out of the way of the sort of the monkey mind, or get out of the way of yourself, so to say, to find that truth?
Yeah, how did I do that? I basically met every feeling that was coming up, every single feeling, every terror, every rage, every absolute ripping grief without fail, and just kept diving and diving and diving and diving into the center of the pain, into the center of the whatever feeling was coming up, because our feeling sense is our route to the truth. It's our route to our soul. It's our route to our heart. And by really, really opening and allowing, and you know, without resistance, even welcoming resistance, if resistance comes up, welcome that. It's just welcoming everything. It's a really old meditation technique, actually. It's just to welcome what arises. You know, just scanning the body, just feeling where there's tension, surrounding the tension.
Like the thoughts as well and stuff. Just allow
whatever
thoughts come in your mind.
Any thoughts that are coming in, just not actually tuning into thoughts. So for me, I mean, I love music. I absolutely love music. And I love singing. And I love, you know, devotional chants. I've got quite a devotional style of spirituality, so I can kind of bliss out, you know, to singing. So I did a lot of praying through singing, and I did a lot of creating altars of sacred things and just asking and thanking God, the universe, the intelligence of life, whatever you want to call the mystery, just asking for my life to be aligned with truth, and for this was my prayer, all distortion of ego to just stop. I didn't want to live in ego anymore. I just wanted to live in authentic truth. And so I think intention is absolutely key. Just getting absolutely crystal clear of what your intention is. And for me, it was, I want to live in truth. I just want to live in truth. That's it. That's all I want. And I was very, very clear that I wanted to serve. And so that was my other prayer, intention, interchangeable words, that I wanted to serve, and I wanted to serve in alignment with my heart and with my soul and with the gifts that I bring, so that I can really, really show up in life in an authentic way and then just meet whatever was coming up to allow space for that prayer. You know, and it's a powerful thing. I mean, I was fasting, I was doing loads and loads of yoga, I was working in particular with a muscle that goes right the way around. It joins the top of, like, the middle of the spine, comes right the way around the pelvic girdle, if you will, and then to the top of the legs. It's called the psoas muscle, and it's also known as the muscle of the soul. And it holds a lot of fear in the body. It holds a lot of fear. So I was doing a lot of yoga to release that fear because, you know, ego by nature, mm-hmm. and that's the part of us that creates the separation from source or from heart or from soul or from mystery or from God or from the intelligence of life, is our ego. The nature of ego is separation and suffering. That's what it feeds on. That's how it keeps its identity alive. And so by working with the psoas muscle and releasing all the experience in my body, and it's not a mind thing, it's a body thing. Presence is now. Mm-hmm. This body is now. I am now. There is only now. Everything that happens in my mind, any recall about yesterday or any imagining into the future, is born of the mind. It's not what's here. And truth is here. Mm-hmm. And it can only ever be here. And it can only ever be now. Yeah. And so that process, you know, since I came back, I had no clue what was going to be created through me. I had no clue if I was going to stay here, if I was going to keep creating the Lammas, you know, vision. I had no clue at all. Although on the top of the mountain, after I'd given up, you know, and I died, I asked, after staying on the mountain overnight, I walked up with a sadhu, actually, that met me at there's like a divine feminine temple called the Parvati temple at the base of the mountain. And then at the top of the mountain is Shiva. So, you know, in terms of Hindu faith, Shiva and Parvati, that's like the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And we all have a divine masculine and a divine feminine within us. Every single one of us on this planet, you know, it's just our, you know, our blokey inside and our, you know, yielding beautiful self, you know, it's like the yin and the yang. It's, you know, all of those aspects. It's exactly the same in every tradition. And so in the Hindu tradition, they have this thing, and I was at the base of the mountain and this sadhu came around and he blessed me with ash. And I was just singing mantras, just had no clue what the next step was. Yeah. And he said, "You with me, mountain gum." And I was like, and I just kind of felt, and I was like, and I just found myself following him. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm coming up the mountain with you. And this was in the pitch black. I didn't even think about snakes or poisonous centipedes or panthers. They probably got all there. I have no idea. It just didn't even cross my mind. I just started to follow him.
Just sort of like a calling, sort of an intuition.
Well, it wasn't even a calling and it wasn't even an intuition. It was just my body. Because by this time I had no thinking, no feeling. There's just nothing. I was just not. I just didn't feel like I was connected or alive or anything. I can't even describe the sense. I just had no compass at all. It was like I just completely shattered everything, really everything. It's unlike anything I've experienced before. It was crazy, totally crazy. And I followed him up the mountain and he got more and more animated and more excited as I got up the top. It's like a 6-hour hike, you know, in the pitch black. I lost him a couple of times on the mountain. And I just started singing, you know, Om Namah Shivaya, or whatever it was, you know. And then he appeared again. And I just carried on up the mountain. And then when I got to the top, there's like a group of young men that sort of look after the top of the mountain. And they wrapped me in a sadhu orange cotton shawl. And they said, "Sister, sit, samadhi." Which I think means meditation. I don't actually know. So I just meditated, and then the sun came up, and it was a very, I mean, I can't even really recall. It was like there was no feeling, there was no thinking, there was just being, and it wasn't blissful. And I have, like I've said before, I've had ego deaths before that have usually been very blissful experiences, but this was just nothing. It was just nothing. It was very, very odd. And then the sun rose. It was beautiful. And then there were loads of dragonflies all across the top of the mountain, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dragonflies. And I could see this tiny little Shiva temple at the base of the mountain. You know, it was like on the top of the world. And I just said, okay, God. Okay, life, you know, I've given everything. just show me the way. I don't care. If you send me to Indonesia to look after street children, I'll go. If you want me to build a little bamboo shelter on the top of this mountain, so be it. I'm not attached. But I still had an element of thinking mind. Mm. And in my thinking mind, Lammas wasn't an option. So here's what happened. 10 minutes after, up comes this young man who I'd seen in the only safe place to eat food in Tiruvannamalai, the city at the bottom of the mountain. He came up with his girlfriend. I was like, hey, I recognize you. And he's like, oh, you're English. Da, da, da. We started chatting. And he said, so where are you from? I said, well, at the moment, I live in Wales. And he said, oh, which part? And I said, well, close to a place called Cardigan. And he said, Cardigan? Oh, my God. That's so bizarre. I spent all yesterday with a best friend of mine who lives at the base of this mountain. And he's from Cardigan. You must know him. He's called Govinda. I was like, no, I don't know a Govinda. He said, well, he's an absolutely amazing guy. His whole soul's passion is to reforest this mountain. He's literally planted thousands and thousands of trees. He's an amazing guy. Anyway, he's telling about this amazing place near you, near Cardigan, called the Lammas Project. Have you heard of it? I was just like, I live there. And he went, whoa, are you kidding me? You live there? Poppy, magic happens in this place. Magic really happens in this place. It happens all the time. But for this to happen, it was a full moon as well. He's like, for this to happen on a full moon on the top of this mountain, you have to pay attention. You have to go and meet Govinda. So I didn't take, because I was confused and I couldn't think and I couldn't listen properly. I hadn't learned how to listen in this nothingness. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, I need to go and see Govinda. So I went to see Govinda and I didn't really have a connection with him. He was a lovely guy, but there wasn't like I didn't feel anything particularly with him. But I didn't clock that I'd just been sent back to Lammas, which was bizarre because my association with Lammas was, it's not truth because of how it was. I came home to Britain a few days later and I was just sort of sat in a chair, a bit kind of catatonic for a few weeks. You know, I was just so confused and I just didn't know what was up, down and out. It was such a strange time. And I went to Portugal to an eco-village that a friend was contemplating moving to. And I was just kind of grasping at anything because nothing made sense. Really, nothing made sense. And so I just went and I'd already said to Tao, I don't feel like I need to be married with you anymore. And, you know, it was just, it was like words were falling out of my mouth that I didn't relate to. Yeah. And I was just, and then this, it was like this force was powering through my life. Oh God, it was so full on. Anyway, I went to Portugal to this really sweet place. It's actually not there now. It got burnt out with the Portuguese fires, but I went to this place and this guy was showing me around, showed me this beautiful stone circle they'd made. He was sharing with me about different things that they were doing there. He said, so where are you from? I said, well, oh, he shared that they held ceremonies and they sang to this very, very sacred place called Arunachala in India. I was like, oh, wow, I've just come from there. And he said, oh, you know what a special place it is. It's an extraordinary place. I was like, yeah, it is. He said, well, anyway, where are you from? I said, well, at the moment I live in Wales. He went, oh, have you heard of the Lammas Project? So it was like, again, I was giving this signal. But that time I started to listen. I started to realise, whoa, this has come twice round now. Okay, I need to listen. So I came back and I just sat with, okay, well, you know, the answers are inside of me. They must be. They can't be anywhere else. You know, I need to listen. Like, if I'm meant to be here, what am I going to create that comes from my heart, my soul? I can't live in Tao's version of truth anymore. I have to be in my own truth, my own integrity. And that's when I started to just really go deep. And I realized that the house that we were building, because we were going through this parting, really. So we were looking at how we could divide the plot up. We were going through this whole, like, crazy, crazy process. And I suddenly realized that I wanted to create a center for transformation and healing. And I knew that all I knew was that it was going to be called, this sort of inspiration came in, it was going to be called the Lammas Earth Center, and it was a center for transformation and healing. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I went to Tao and I was just like, I've just had some insight, and I've just been getting all these images and this flashes of inspiration, and seems I'm not going to be moving. And he's like, oh yeah, what do you mean? I was like, well, you know, our house that we're looking at splitting up, you know, when we build it. And he's like, yeah. I said, well, it's not going to be our house. It's going to be the Lammas Earth Center. He's like, what's that? I was like, I don't know. Yeah. But what I am getting is that it's a center for transformation and healing. And I said, but I need you to build it. Are you up for that? And he said, yeah, I can get behind that. And then we sort of went through this process of reconnecting in a new way where my vision started to come alive in a landscape that was already starting to heal. And so now, as that time, and this is, what, 3 years ago, it wasn't that long ago, really, but in that time, it's become more and more and more clear what the Lammas Earth Center is going to be, you know. And I've been following more and more this music thread and healing thread and working with the land specifically and working with, you know, herbs and just really bringing more transformation work for people. And it's becoming, yeah, as I'm, oh God, I don't think I've ever been more alive and more, it's like I feel plugged into life truly again. And I'm really living from my authentic soul. And it just happens to marry perfectly with what we've been creating all along. I just got a bit lost along the way and I needed a big nudge. And that was what happened.
I would love to actually know what you, because that process, what you're describing to me there, I mean, you've got to be in tune to really understand that process. Because I think in life, in my life as well, is what I've noticed now is that there's so many different subtleties that come up and different new things that try to guide you in certain directions. But I think if you're not open to it or you're numb to it, you don't really notice them little
no,
signals
exactly.
That's telling you to go this way. Do you have any practices or do you do anything in general just in your own mind that allows you to be more open to them new things that's going to come?
Yeah. So my first day, like, it's not even a daily practice, it's a moment by moment practice, is to be absolutely authentic about how I'm feeling and to welcome what I'm feeling without resisting it, without making it wrong, without pushing it aside, just welcoming it. So if there's a grief, I'll feel it. If there's a rage, I'll feel it. I won't project it and I won't act on it. I'll just feel it here and let it move through. And then I ask, okay, what's true here? What's true for me? So that I'm living in truth. I have to live in truth. And the route to truth is through feeling, you know, so that keeps me in a place of truth. And then I meditate. So I have different forms of meditation. So I play instruments and that just puts me into a real stillness so that I'm really receptive. And that meditation, I mean, there's so many ways that we can connect.
Yeah.
So for me, it's music, singing, playing instruments, dancing. It's going into, I work with plant spirits. So I go into like a retreat where I drink a herb, elixir, and I connect with plant spirits and I just listen to the guidance. I give myself sound journeys and stuff. And I'm just connecting more and more with the earth. I may sit in front of a flower and I'll just gaze at a flower and then I'll just feel insights coming up. I walk my dogs and when I'm walking in nature, I'm just listening, watching their ears, watching their noses, watching their where they're drawn. And I'm just tuning into them and their energy, if you like, their life force. And they teach me a tremendous amount. So I'm kind of ongoing. It's sort of all, they're all things that I live rather than, you know, sit down and meditate. I've never been a sit down meditator really. Go through phases of it, but it's not something that I massively resonate with.
Yeah, I like what you said before though, because I'm with you on that. Meditation isn't just sitting still. Meditation is comes in many different forms and many different packages. Something else I want to try and touch on, and I'm not sure how you framed it, and I would like you to reframe it again because I want to ask a question about it. When you were speaking before about the ego death, you said that a powerful lesson came up where it said not to be too attached to the physical. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So did I say that? Let me think. See if I can find the thread. So yeah, okay, so the process of letting go that I went through, I'd become very attached to the little me and the little me's needs And that was a block to living from my soul and living from my heart and living from my truth. And so I had to let go of all these things, let go of the attachments to all these things in order to find the truth. And that involved, for me, in that particular sense, it involved my children, my home, yeah. my marriage, you know, all of those different things. But that process of letting go invokes a deep, deep surrender and a deep kind of throwing myself back into the arms of life, into the arms of creation, into the void, the source, the pregnant creative principle of life. And that's where true inspiration arises from. And it's very sacred, very sacred process. Mm-hmm.
Just because what I'm trying to tell you from my mind is, because obviously I'm just analysing your lessons that you got and the lessons that I've been getting in my life and stuff. And I'm trying to tell you with this process of the higher self, because it seems like the higher self doesn't care about the little you. I'm Dan Harrison, I've got a podcast and stuff.
Yeah.
It seems that it's not only just thinking about the larger picture of yourself, it's actually potentially could be going all the way back to future selves, past lives or whatever it is, but it seems to be looking at the whole in terms of everything that's going on in the universe.
Yeah.
And it bypasses every all them little minute details. But I'm trying to sort of analyze within myself is, because if something that I'm playing with in my life at the minute is and some lessons that I've been having over the last few weeks and over the last couple of months is that very similar to you is that getting wrapped up in the ego of myself. But at the same time, I've got this other little voice in my head that says, no, it's just about enjoyment. Just play it. Just enjoy the ego. Just sort of, because Alan Watts has this quote where he says, man and woman take seriously what the gods made for fun. And I've got that in my head all the time, and I'm thinking,
that's gorgeous.
Is the purpose of the self, like the higher self, is it to just play and experience, or is it to actually go deeper within the selves and forget the playing aspect and work even deeper? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's something I'm just trying to come to terms with. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? I love that Alan Watts quote. That's so yeah. beautiful. Because my experience, I really, in my life, it's like life before India and life after India. And life after India has just become, I'm a joyful being anyway, but it's like the depth of gratitude that I feel. I had to dive deep. I had to dive really, really deep, right to the very, very core of, and beyond belief is actually where I went. I went beyond belief. And in that process of going beyond belief, which is a serious business, actually, because it means death, death of me. In that death of me, there is an alignment and a oneness that is so deliciously playful, light, pure, innocent, childlike, delicious. It's like the fragrance of life pulls me forward, and I have no clue what's going to be created through me next. I have no clue. And it's like resting in not knowing and following the breadcrumbs of delicious joy, and then thanking or consciously co-creating more of that. And that's my guide.
Yeah. When you were speaking before about, so obviously the ego death and stuff, because at the time, obviously where you were describing that, at the time it's probably psychologically a challenging time to, like, you're having all these emotions going all over the place.
Yeah.
And I've had the same thing. But what I've noticed is that them moments make you, because they're sort of the most challenging moments in your life, sort of shape you, and then from there more beautiful things come to fruition. Yeah. Do you find that the most challenging moments in your life have sort of, at the end of it, at the time it might seem is the worst thing on the planet Earth, but then eventually something more beautiful blossoms?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's an annihilation, isn't it? When, you know, but the trick is not to get attached to the suffering, you know, because you're going through a process and it's just recognizing this too shall pass.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, people can get stuck there. And that can be a very, very, very painful place to be. And really, it's about recognizing that emotion, if you look at the word emotion, energy in motion, that's what it is.
I like that.
It's emotion, energy that needs to move. And so by feeling it, letting it move through you without getting stuck there, so it's almost like you're a colander and there's these like energy, it's like, you know, the emotions of the water falling through the holes. Just let it flow through until it's had its way with you, until it's finished. And when it's finished, then what's here? And then listen to that.
Do you have a mental process for doing that in your mind, just to go a little bit deeper if you can?
It's less of a mental process and more of a body process for me. But I mean, I work with something called the Enneagram, which is an incredibly profound tool. It's taught badly, quite a lot. It's taught as a kind of personality type thing. But it's also, in certain places, it's taught as a really incredible tool for understanding the nature of ego, recognizing the traps, and being able to step away from it. Because ego in consciousness is a contraction. It's like a tight feeling. So when I'm contracted, I know I'm in ego. I know I'm getting all kind of, you know, tied up in knots and I'm getting into ego. So I stop and I ask, okay, what needs to be felt? What needs to be felt here? So I allow, welcome, just love whatever it is, and let it be felt. And then I drop into a more spacious, open feeling. And that spacious, open feeling is what you would call higher self, what I would call source, what I would call alignment. And that spaciousness is truth. And so that's what I follow. So I'm always listening for contraction. I'm always listening and feeling inside, or expansion. And the Enneagram helps give a map for how consciousness and the games that ego can play, because ego can be a pretty slippy little fish.
Definitely.
It's a very slippy little eel. And you can't get rid of your ego. You know, we have ego, full stop. It's a part of being here on planet Earth. But the trick is to, as I've discovered, is to align with my soul and love my ego. Love, 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 love my ego to death.
I love that.
Let it die, you know, and know that it's going to keep coming up and it's going to keep coming round. It's going to keep coming, keep being here. But just to know its little games and to recognize and understand how it tries to hook you back into contraction and suffering.
So you're saying, just because I'm just trying to break it down a bit more. So you're trying to see when that ego comes up in the mind, sort of, great philosopher talked about how, like, become the witness mind of the sort of the thoughts, but become the witness mind of the ego as well. So when the ego arises, don't like numb it out, because it's something that has to, you have to acknowledge
it's
it.
It's a part of life.
You have
absolutely
to acknowledge it, but then once you acknowledge it, from there, that's when you
then
can,
it hasn't got its
don't
grip.
Don't attach to it though.
Yeah, it hasn't got its grip. It's always going to be here. You know, you're never going to get rid of Dan. You're never going to get rid of Hoppy. You know, there is a little me. There's always a little me. You know, there's some guru teachers out there that claim that they have no ego. When they're teaching, they're talking from a place of soul. They're talking from a place of source, I imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, I can talk as the presence of the universe, of course. You know, I can talk from truth. And I have an ego. Everyone has an ego.
100%.
You know, without, but it's whether your life is being driven from your ego. And the ego has different strategies. It can either be an inflating ego, it can be a rigid ego, or it can be a deflating ego. You know, it has different ways that it tricks us into, you know, into believing the story of me.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because when you were something that came in my head before is because when you were saying before about how some people say they haven't got an ego, but the fact you're saying you haven't got an ego is the fact you've got
an ego. Exactly. That's the cosmic joke. Yeah, it's like, really, oh, really? Funny. Come on. You know.
It's that cosmic joke, though, that's a good talking point as well. That slightly touched on is the cosmic joke aspect of life, because in my life, I've noticed that loads lately, is that when you start getting too ahead of yourself or whatever you're doing, if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing or whatever it is, the universe will come around and it'll play this little cosmic joke on you and it'll trick around. What was it again? I had a really funny one the bit of a week. What was it again? It was really funny. I think I was just walking down the street or something, and I was thinking of the process of me Oh, that's what it was. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I went for a walk in the woods, and I was going through the process of thinking how grateful I am for my legs and how amazing my body is and stuff, and the ability just to sort of walk through the woods and things like that. And I was thinking in my head, oh, how some people can't even do this and things like that. And I remember all of a sudden I just slipped over down this bank and just fell flat on my face and got covered in mud. And at the time it felt like the universe was just saying, ah, don't get too certain in who you think you are, and be grateful for everything. You know, you've got to be still balanced and keep aware of all the things that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just so many little subtleties like that where the universe will just play a little prankster on you. And
yeah.
Have you had any experiences over the last months or something where the universe has had to play a prank on you?
Let me have a little think. I actually, in all truth, I find thinking about the past quite tiring, so I don't do it, and I don't hold on to it. I just kind of live now. So to recall, there's certain like big memories that I call on, but I don't really, let me have a think, have I had a prank? There's nothing coming to mind, in all truth. Mm-hmm.
No, but it's just interesting. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of highlight it, because I think as well that's a sense of lessons as well. Because in your day-to-day life, what I recognise is that, because I'm aware that you can just, there's natural phenomena that happens where you just walk along the street, and like I said, I just could have naturally just been an idiot and just slipped on the floor. But at the same time, just like the intuition comes up and tells you little signals, also that larger picture where something will happen where it is sort of a funny aspect where you fall flat on your face or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But them trying to tune into them little subtleties as well, because there's so many, because in this is what I'm trying to do in my life now is, and I think this is part of the journey, the more you start getting to know yourself and more become aware of everything that's going on around you, you start realizing that every single little thing is a lesson. Everything what is.
Absolutely.
And it's sort of like, and do you know how to go even deeper as well? This might sound crazy for some people, but I lucid dream a lot. And within the lucid dream, I'm aware that there's like sort of archetypes in the lucid dream from your subconscious mind. Mm. And I feel like sometimes that people that you come into your day-to-day lives, when you're driving down the street or you're walking down the street, whatever it is, I try and play with the concept that they're just an archetype in my mind. And it's trying, like every single interaction and every single creature or every single bite of food I taste or whatever it is, it's like an archetype from my own consciousness trying to teach us something.
Yeah.
And I know some people might think, Jesus Christ, that'll send you crazy. But I'm not saying I'm not allowing it to send us crazy, but I'm just thinking that I'm just trying to tune into every single subtlety and realize that maybe everything is for you, right? And every single interaction, every single moment, like maybe you're here for me now, I'm here for you. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Well, I am one.
Yeah.
There is no separation.
Yeah.
There's no separation in grace. There's no separation in truth, is there?
Mm.
You know, what is separation but ego? And so that, you know, experiencing everything as part of yourself is being rooted and grounded and the embodiment of ultimate truth. Mm. You know, your home.
Yeah.
Boom.
I want to ask you, I mean, this is a little bit deeper, but is there any aspects in your life now where you don't feel free?
Because no.
I'll just quickly give you a bit of context as well, because obviously we're in an environment now where, for me, this feels like freedom. We're in a sort of an eco village where everyone's sort of living lives that are very one with nature, self-sustainable and stuff. And you seem obviously very vibrant person. And I mean, I still do think that everyone, I mean, this might be different for you, but I get a sense that everyone is, we're all here to heal. We're all on this planet to heal. We're all learning, we're all developing. And for me, I mean, it feels like in my life I get a certain stage where I feel like I've developed in that area, and then bang, something else will come up where I've got to try and work on that. And then I'll get that area, and then bang, something else will come up.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that every single person is working on something in the mind. Is there an aspect of that where you maybe don't feel free, or you're still working on something within inside yourself?
I experience this consciousness that I am as expanding. It's just constantly expanding, and that experience of expansion and growth is guided by following my joy and the things that bring deep, deep pleasure within me and deep peace within me. And so if I'm not listening to that, then I'll get a big lesson. And as long as I'm listening, really following that joy and really honoring and giving permission to become more joyful, more pleasurable, more, you know, like how pleasurable can I be? How much pleasure can I take? How much beauty can I take? How much love can I be? That's like the meter, really. That's, it's not even a meter, but that's the pull forward. And they're agreeing.
That's a cosmic duo.
They're in agreement. Totally.
That's the dog saying, you don't think you know it all. But I'm
so for you, that's what they say. For me, they're going, yeah, I rock that.
Yeah.
Perception.
Yeah, I like that actually. It's really cool.
Perception. How, you know, I feel like I'm a co-creator. Like a really, we're all incredibly powerful co-creators. You know, creating a life that is natural, that is truthful, that is loving, that is connecting, and being true to that. I created a little song. It's really, really simple, but it's really served me, and it's just so simple. Shall I sing it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
we'll end the podcast like that as well. Yeah, go ahead.
So it goes like this. It's so, so simple, and it's just I'm gonna have to close my eyes to do it. So it's your truth is my truth, is our truth, is the truth. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Your truth is my truth, is our truth, is the truth. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Be true to your brothers. Be true to your sisters. Be true to your brothers. Be true to yourself. Be true to your sisters. Be true to your brothers. Be true to your sisters. Be true to yourself. And then it goes back round again.
That was powerful, that. I think we should leave it there, by the way. Really powerful. Really powerful. Thank you so much for that as well. Thank you so much for an amazing conversation.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you.
You're such a love.
That was class. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. That was really such a nice conversation. I really loved sitting down with Hoppy. And as I mentioned, I just wanted to say thank you so much to Hoppy and her husband Tao for really sort of welcoming me into their eco village and welcoming me into their home. It really was a cool experience, and I loved just sitting down and chatting to Hoppy. She really is such a beautiful human being. And I loved how she sang that song at the end as well. Really was sort of a special moment. It really is special when somebody just opens themselves up and starts just sort of projecting their truth from within, especially with music. Music really is a powerful thing. And when somebody does sing, you've got to remember as well, I feel that singing and music, it really is something that comes from deep within. And I really felt that when she was singing that song at the end. It really was beautiful anyway. And I hope you enjoyed that. So anyway, I just wanted to mention as well, if you want to support the podcast, the best way to do that is through the Patreon page, as you know. The Patreon page really is the best way to help me to keep doing what I'm doing. As you know, this conversation was recorded. I traveled down to Wales. I did a few podcasts down there, then I headed across to London. I'm traveling all over the place now, recording these conversations and trying to bring you the most authentic and real conversations that I possibly can. And to do that, I really do need your help through the Patreon page. So if you can, please find it in your heart. All I'm saying is check out the Patreon page. And if you can as well, check out the Breaking Convention. As I mentioned, it's coming up next week. And it really will be cool. So if that sort of tickles your fancy, I would definitely recommend checking it out. And I'm sure that when we're at the conference as well, we'll be able to meet up and hang out as well, which will be really cool. And as I mentioned in the intro, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be putting in place some dates for the Ascend Podcast retreat. So keep an eye out for that. That'd be really cool as well. So anyway, just to play this conversation out, I'm going to play a song that I actually found a couple of weeks ago. It's a song featuring Alan Watts, and it's called What Fills the Gap by a guy called Will Caddy. So anyway, enjoy this song by Will Caddy, What Fills the Gap, featuring Alan Watts. It really is a powerful tune. So anyway, I love you all, and wherever you are in the world, keep seeking people. And as always, tune in next week where there'll be another powerful podcast. Peace out, people.
You sitting in this room, you think you're really here? Well, you've persuaded yourself that way. You've acted it so damn well that you know this is the real world. But you're playing it. We haven't realized that life and death, black and white, good and evil, being and non-being, come from the same center. They imply each other. What you are basically. Deep, deep down, far, far in, is simply the fabric and structure of existence itself.
Books burn and stories will fade. It's straight in our arms can fight against change. Dream where you are now.